All right, we got Dr. Thompson. Calm down. Took a little bit, but we're back on even keel. Welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you here on News Radio KMAN. Here with Dr. Dan Thompson, Jones Professor of Production Medicine at Kansas State University, former director of the K-State Beef Institute. And we were talking in that previous segment about misinformation when it comes to GMOs, when it comes to kind of what's in your food, especially when it's related to beef and some of those things. And you mentioned that there's increased costs with dealing with some of this. Why is there increased costs?
Well, so let's just back up a little bit. The, you know, like steroid implants have been used in beef cattle since 1954 in the United States. And when we look at the use of that type of product, it's estrogen and trenbolone acetate. When those types of products are used, we improve the feed efficiency of beef cattle 15 to 20%. If we remove the technology, so let me just back up. So if you go from a conventionally or traditionally raised beef carcass to a natural fed where you don't use, where there's no antibiotics, no steroid implants, no endecticides, you can't treat the animals for parasites.
Is that like the definition of like grass-fed beef?
No, that's not even grass-fed. This is almost all cattle are fed in feedlots. Natural-fed cattle do not get antibiotics, steroid implants, things to that nature, and it costs about $200 more to produce that carcass than conventionally raised. If you go to organic beef, where you have the same rules as natural, but you also have to feed an organic source of feed, like no pesticides, no herbicides of the corn, of the hay, things like that.
Simply feed.
It costs $600 more per carcass. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is when we remove some of these technologies, if we produce the same amount of beef today in the United States as we do, and we lose the technology, which decreases the feed efficiency, we will need a cornfield the size of the state of New York to replace the lost efficiency. So when people start talking to me about sustainability and environmental stewardship and about affordability of beef and the safety of beef, I can assure you today that using a steroid implant, the steak, an 8-ounce steak from a steer that was implanted with a steroid, has 3 nanograms of estrogen activity in it. An 8-ounce steak from a natural or organic steer has 2 nanograms of estrogenic activity in it. A nanogram per kilogram is equivalent to a blade of grass on a football field. And so we're going to give up the efficiency and the amount of rain and diesel and everything to raise a crop the size of the state of New York, increasing the cost of beef at not only the cost of production of beef, $200 to $600 per head, but think what that's going to do to the cost of your steak. And it's not safer. It's not more wholesome. It's not more nutritious. That's where I have an issue. If you can afford to eat natural and organic beef, I'm for you. And if you produce it, I'm for you. If you want to eat cardboard, it's your life. I don't care, okay?
Right.
When I have a problem is when someone says that the conventionally raised beef that I put on the table for my wife and 4 daughters is not as safe, not as wholesome, or not as nutritious, because it's just not true. And what that type of reasoning without science, without consumer acceptance and interpretation, because the activist groups are wanting to refine, reduce, replace the beef or any kind of meat on your table, is inappropriate to me. So that's where I'm trying to get at. You know, if you ate 8 ounces of tofu, 51 million nanograms of estrogenic activity. If you have 8 ounces of peanuts, 136 nanograms of estrogenic activity, 2,000 nanograms in 8 ounces of cabbage. So, I mean, as you start to look at the estrogenic activity, and we're talking about the difference of 3 versus 2 in an 8-ounce steak from an implanted steer versus non-implanted steer, but yet we're going to need to have a cornfield the size of New York to make up for that lost efficiency, and we're going to take make beef less affordable. Brady, I don't think people realize, but ground beef is the number three purchase for people in grocery stores that use SNAP coupons or food stamps. What I love about the beef industry, and I love about the state of Kansas being such a big part of the beef industry, is we don't just feed the white tablecloth restaurants. We're feeding people of all socioeconomic strata. And when we start to understand the power of beef for every person in the United States and beyond, and being able to feed both the rich and the poor and everybody in between, it's just a phenomenal opportunity and a responsibility that we don't take lightly.
I like that. The power of beef.
That's right.
That sounds
protein
cool.
Power.
That's right. Here with Dr. Dan Thompson, Jones Professor of Production Medicine at K-State, former director of the K-State Beef Institute. Very fired up after the summer, checking out so many different places. And I think I've seen some photos of you at some cattle operations just firsthand.
Oh yeah. I actually still consult as a veterinarian for beef operations down around Dodge City and then here around Manhattan, and like to keep my hands wet and stay up on private practice. I also consult some of our larger beef packers. Last week I was up at Dakota Dunes with Tyson, and just absolutely amazing what is happening out there as far as working on transportation issues. How can we make the ride more comfortable? How can we plan better for our trucking and logistics of getting cattle to the plant? And just a lot of people that care and a lot of people that are involved. And it's been good. Been in Little Rock, Arkansas, at the Arkansas Cattlemen's Association meeting. It's been a whirlwind summer. And then I do the Farm Bureau meetings across the state of Kansas, and I think I have done like 65 or 70 of the 105 county Farm Bureau meetings, and that's where I'll be at tomorrow night in Phillipsburg at the Phillips County Farm Bureau meeting. So,
and you still got the energy to spare.
I am here because of, just my passion for people in this community, in this state. I'm lucky enough to get to do the job. And so let's go do it. And pickups starting to rack up the miles.
Go ahead, Dave.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the national world, national world, there's so much talk about tariffs mm-hmm. and NAFTA. And I know you're not the economist, but I know you probably know enough. Do you have comments on some of the changes that may be forthcoming?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost, if you have a tariff put on your product, it's because you're really good at doing it. And the reason why we have tariffs put on our agricultural products is because we have the best systems in the world, and the producers in those other countries can't keep up. And so it really, I think the tariff becomes a protective mechanism for their producers and their, we've seen it with other things politically, like steroid implants in the EU. They make this science claim that to keep our beef out of the European Union, you can't use steroid implants. But it really isn't because of the safety. It's more to protect the European beef producers, because we can do it more efficiently. And if you look, while they're placing tariffs on us, they're also trying to understand our technology and build the same production systems in their countries as we have here. So
that says a lot.
Yep. So when we look at Brazil, the best way to save the rainforest from deforestation, the report came out, was to build feedlots and ethanol plants. So now they're building feedlots and ethanol plants in Brazil to save the rainforest. And so I think that at the end of the day, when you see a tariff, number one, we support a lot of things that are going on with international trade. And the reason why it's happening is because we're the best at what we do in agriculture.
Dr. Dan Thompson, never enough time with you. Check him out on Doc Talk, though.
Yeah, come on over.
Just Google. That's profound. You know, the power of beef should be a country song.
It really should be.
I'm on it.
Luke Bryan will do that one. Dr. Dan Thompson, thanks so much for coming in. Thanks so much for everybody for listening. See y'all tomorrow.
Why was it I was thinking of Luke Bryan, too?
What,
seriously.
You?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that'd be his song.
You know, see, it wouldn't be such a departure from all the songs about beer.
No.
You just change a letter.
Exactly.